This morning, the government released new numbers about inflation.
We're going to begin with the latest on the critical inflation report.
In the Moneyball, year-over-year headline up 8.3%.
8.3%. That is hotter than expected.
By one measure, inflation is now at 8.3%.
Inflation is as high as it's been since the early 1980s. We haven't had this experience in 40 years.
Our colleague John Hilsenrath covers the economy, and he says that when inflation is this high, it's harder for people around the country to make ends meet.
Let's say you have a paycheck of $1,000 a week, and that's what you're living on. Well, if the price at the gasoline pump is going up, if your cost of milk is going up, that $1,000 doesn't go as far as it used to.
Getting inflation under control is the job of the Federal Reserve, the Fed.
What the Fed tries to do is keep inflation steady around 2%. And the biggest problems we have in the economy is when we veer from that. And that's what happened. We had a COVID shock. The economy effectively shut down. And it created all of these aftershocks, including this inflation boom, which we now have to get under control.
But doing that, getting inflation under control, is easier said than done. John says the Fed is in a really tough spot right now.
Generally, bad things happen to the rest of the economy when the Fed is working to bring inflation down.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Wednesday, May 11th. Coming up on the show, can the Fed bring down inflation without causing a recession?
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Is there like a metaphor that you could use for where the Fed is right now when it comes to the problem that it's facing with inflation?
Yeah. Imagine racing a car down a windy road and you realize you're going too fast and you got to slow down and you got to be careful not to hit the brakes on so hard that you crash. And you also got to be careful not to keep the car going so fast that you fly off the side of the road. And that's kind of where the Fed is.
In terms of what the Fed is up against, like how steep and how windy is this hill right now?
It's pretty steep and windy. It's very steep and windy. But it's not just the hill. It's how fast the Fed was going down the hill.
The Fed was going really fast down that hill because it had spent the last 2 years trying to prop up the economy during the pandemic.
The Fed responded to that shock the way they responded to earlier shocks, which is to try to stimulate demand. The goal was to keep households and businesses flush with cash while we went through these shutdowns. Not only did the Fed cut interest rates, but the federal government sent households checks and sent out relief payments to businesses. And all of this worked to kind of boost demand, boost consumer spending, boost business spending. But they stimulated the economy too much. They stimulated too much demand, which means that car was going very, very fast down a steep, windy hill.
And it's not just that there was more demand created by all this stimulus and low interest rates. It was also that there were supply issues too, right? Where the supply chains got constrained and suddenly there were fewer things available to buy.
Right. Chinese factories to this day have been shut down. They're not sending their widgets and their phones and their cell chips to their customers overseas. And in fact, supply has had a whole new set of shocks with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Ukraine is one of the biggest suppliers to the world of wheat. Russia is one of the biggest suppliers of the world to natural gas, palladium, oil. So we still have really big imbalances in the economy. And one of the stories of what's going on right now is the supply hasn't come back online as fast as the Fed was hoping and expecting. And with less supply and more demand, there's an imbalance, and that leads to higher prices. And now what the Fed has realized is that they got to raise interest rates to get supply and demand back in line with each other.
The main way the Fed fights inflation is by raising interest rates. Raising interest rates makes it more expensive to borrow money, which has an effect on all parts of the economy.
So if you want to buy a car, your car financing is going to go up. The lease terms might be more expensive. If you're borrowing on a credit card, the credit card expenses might go up. Your mortgage rate is going to go up. It's going to affect the cost of housing. If you're a business and you're thinking about opening a new plant, well, then getting a loan from a bank is going to be more expensive.
The idea is that if it's more expensive to borrow money, it's going to make consumers and businesses think twice before they open their wallets, ideally creating a cooling effect across the economy.
People tend to respond to the higher costs of higher interest rates by spending less, by investing less, by not buying that next house or that first house. And so Fed interest rate increases slow down economic demand.
That is exactly what the Fed is hoping to accomplish. In March, it started raising rates. First, just a quarter of a percent. And last week, it raised them by 0.5%.
The Federal Reserve will raise interest rates by 0.5%.
Its steepest interest rate increase since May 2000.
The Fed is being forced to step in like the firefighter and try to put out this inflation fire right now.
While raising interest rates can bring down inflation, John says it also comes with risks.
The worst case scenario is that the Fed tightens credit so much, they hit demand so hard, that it pushes the economy into a recession.
What does a recession look like for the average American?
Jobs. Recessions are usually accompanied with rising unemployment. And that's what we're trying to avoid this time around.
And this, John says, is what the Fed is risking, the possibility of putting millions of people out of work.
This is, in my mind, the most important part of this whole story. The unemployment rate is exceptionally low. And that's great news. That means that millions of Americans who want jobs can find them. They're out there. Companies are fighting for workers and they're raising wages and increasing benefits and offering bonuses to get people to come and work. So this, I think, is the biggest question that we face today. And that is, can the Fed get inflation down to its 2% target over the next 2 or 3 years without killing the great employment story that we've got right now? Can they do it without causing unemployment to rise? It's possible, theoretically, that they can do it. But our experience is that it tends to cause a lot more turbulence than anybody's best hopes. We've had a lot of different experiences in history. We had bumpy landings in the 1950s where we had recessions, unemployment rose, but from pretty low levels.
In America, we've experienced inflation for the past dozen years, which cut the value of our dollar nearly in half.
In the 1980s, when inflation was much higher, they hit the brakes on hard and threw us into a recession, drove unemployment up to double-digit levels.
I regret to say that we're in the worst economic mess since the Great Depression.
We had soft landings in the 1990s when unemployment kept falling, but inflation then was much lower than it is now.
Real interest rates should come down about 0.5% by 1994, but job growth will remain sluggish.
But John says the Fed has never actually raised interest rates just enough to reduce inflation as much as they want to do in this case, without causing more unemployment. Why officials think they can do that now? That's after the break.
Thank you. This episode is brought to you by GlobalX ETFs. Buzz around artificial intelligence is seemingly everywhere. Is your portfolio keeping up? Consider the GlobalX Artificial Intelligence and Technology ETF, ticker AIQ, which invests in dozens of stocks at the leading edge of this disruption. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Technology companies can be affected by rapid product obsolescence and intense industry competition. Before investing carefully, consider the fund's objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in the full or summary prospectus at globalxetfs.com. Read carefully. Distributed by SEI Investments Distribution Company.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
So the Fed is trying to bring down inflation without causing unemployment. One thing that's working in its favor are all the open jobs right now.
Our job market is really hot right now. In the month of March, there were 11.5 million job openings that were unfilled. And this is what the Fed is trying to do, what they're trying to pull off. They're trying to raise interest rates just enough so that companies aren't hiring as aggressively as they're trying to do right now, and so that these job openings come back to something that's more normal for an economy like this.
Fed officials are hoping that if they get interest rates right, companies won't fire their employees. They'll just stop hiring new ones as aggressively as planned.
What they're effectively doing is, instead of pushing companies to kill jobs that exist, they're trying to convince them to take some of the unopened, unfilled jobs off the table.
How hard is it for the Fed to get that right?
It's really hard. It sounds so simple, right? But, you know, the economy is a very tricky animal to predict. It's hard to know where you're going to be 12 months from now. I mean, who would have said a year ago that Russia was going to invade Ukraine and add to all of the other uncertainties in the economy?
The war in Ukraine is driving the price of wheat and corn products even higher.
The Fed thought that after COVID settled down, that millions of workers would come back into the labor force and start looking for jobs. And instead, people didn't come back. It turned out that millions of Americans took early retirement.
More than half of the people who left the workforce during the COVID era were over 55 years old.
Other Americans moved from cities to less dense areas. And so there was all this turbulence that nobody saw coming. And it just makes it really hard to predict what's around the corner. And what the Fed has to do is they've got to set an interest rate policy for an economy as they think it's going to unfold. And when it doesn't unfold the way they expect, then they've got to make adjustments. So that's hard even in normal times. When you have a historic pandemic with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, it's even harder to pull off.
So far, the Fed has only raised interest rates by less than a percentage point. But it's possible the Fed will raise rates much higher over the next year. Is what the Fed is doing right now, is it going to work?
Is it going to work? Well, if the Fed has any credibility, they're going to get inflation back to 2%. And the only question is how long it'll take. You know, they say it'll take maybe a couple of years. How will we know? We got to watch the inflation numbers, you know, see what's going on with your grocery bill, at the gas pump, in all your other costs of living. If the Fed is meeting its target, is going to slow down, you know, and then we're going to see as we go how that affects the rest of the economy. Hopefully, they'll pull it off without slowing the economy so much that it forces companies to lay off all those workers they're trying to hire right now.
How would we know if the Fed is failing at this?
Well, I mean, sadly, I think we can say on one level, the Fed failed, right? Their goal was 2% inflation and they missed the target. They cut interest rates too much. They pumped too much money into the financial system. inflation over 6% is a failure. It's already failed. And then the only question is, what's the price that we're going to have to pay to get it back down to 2%? If they don't start making progress, if we don't start seeing inflation slow down, then that's a sign that they got more work to do. And they might have to keep doing it even if unemployment rises. I personally think we're heading for just a bumpy time. I don't think it necessarily means that a bumpy time means double-digit unemployment. I think it means we could have a few months or quarters here where there's a lot of volatility before we get back onto some more predictable path.
That's all for today, Wednesday, May 11th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and the Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Nick Timmeros. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.